I'll just open up the first file. This material is finished, rough draft. I have a translation and commentary, but there has not been any English editing on any of it yet, or most little bit on the first file, but mostly it has not been edited. So at this stage, we may discover quite a few confusing things, and you may pick out some mistakes, so keep your ears open. Again, I cannot give out copies of this. It's just too dangerous at this stage to let copies out. 101 honor jades. I have here 34 files for the text, and then files and 8 more files for the Sarvasambandhini. So a total of 42 files, each about the same size as the files in the Tattvasandarbha. So that makes it over in between 3 and 4 times bigger. That's with the commentaries added. Okay. Mangalacharita, 1 verse. No, 2 verses. Tao santo shayata santao Srila rupa sanatano Dakshinatyena bhottena Punar etad vivichyate. For the further satisfaction of the two great saints, Srila Rupa and Srila Sanatana, the southern Brahmin Gopal Bhatta Goswami has also given his consideration to the following. If you're following the translation and even the transliteration of Kushakrata, do it at your own risk. It's full of mistakes. And don't even ask me why Kushakrata says this or that. We won't deal with that. Better you don't. At this point, don't even look at it. We'll give you our Sanskrit. Are you working on that? Okay. So today it can be handed. It can be passed around. We have files. Yeah, we have files that we can copy it now. Okay. So this first verse. Did I read it? For the further satisfaction of the two great saints, Srila Rupa and Srila Sanatan, the southern Brahmin Gopal Bhatta Goswami has also given his consideration to the following. This verse will begin each of the last 5 sandarbhas. I wrote a commentary on this. We have the commentary of Baladeva Dibhushan on the Tattvasandarbha. We also have another commentary by someone, Radha Mohan Goswami. And we have a third commentary that's short. 3 commentaries existing on the Tattvasandarbha. But there is no Sanskrit commentary for the rest of the other sandarbhas. There is just Jiva Goswami's Sarvasambandhini notes on selected points. So anything wrong with the commentary, it's my fault. It's all made from scratch. Except for here, I am citing Sarvasambandhini. Commentary. Commenting on this Mangalacharana, Sarvasambandhini says, Taviti, Tao pur vokta ritya prasidhau. The text beginning Tao. The two of them are the two who are well known in the way previously described. Okay, we have the pronoun Tao. It should be referring to something not immediately present. Well, we're talking about the Rupa and Sanatana that we mentioned at the beginning of the Tattvasandarbha. That's why we're using Tao. And they're famous. You don't have to even mention their names. The Sanskrit doesn't. Oh, it does. Srila Rupa Sanatana, second line. The first line doesn't mention their names. Then there's another verse. Tasyadyam gratanalekam krantavyut krantakanditam paryalochyata paryayam kritva likati jivakaha. The same exact verse is there in the Tattvasandarbha. The first rendition of this work was a rough draft, the one made by Gopal Bhatta Goswami, with some parts in topical order, others not, and some parts only suggestive fragments. So I, an insignificant jiva, jivaka, have carefully gone over the manuscript and rewritten it in a more systematic form. Now we launch into the actual text of the Bhagavat Sandarbha, the Sandarbha that explains Bhagavan. Okay, I've got an accent floating in space here. I just deleted it. Okay. Text 1, Anujade 1. Ataivam advaya jnana lakshanam tatvam samanyato lakshayadva punar upasaka yogyata vaishishtyena prakatita nijasatta vishesham visheshato nirupayati vadanti iti asyo asyaiva otararnena brahmeti paramatmeti bhagavan iti shabdyate iti. We have already given a general definition of the Absolute Truth in the Tattvasandarbha, characterized as, quote, pure consciousness, one without a second, Jnanam Advayam. Now Srimad Bhagavatam further describes this tattva in detail, revealing its particular existence in accordance with the particular qualifications of various worshippers. This the Bhagavatam does in the verse beginning Vadanti, the second couplet of which states, it is termed Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. Well, we were dealing with the first half of the verse before, Yajnanam Advayam. Now we get more specific in the second half of Vedanti Tattva Vidas. It's called Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. We will use the next two sandarbhas to explain those three words. 101 anuchades in this one, and 100 and something in the Paramatma sandarbha. I'd have to look. I'll quickly look in the index. Well, let's see. It's not actually quoted in the Tattvasandarbha. Okay. Tattva 51. 51. Unless I change the numbers. He begins to explain it, but he really only deals with the first half. Yeah. Okay. So yes, it was the first half was dealt with in the last part of the Tattvasandarbha, beginning with Anuchade 51, where the verse was quoted. Okay. Let's read the commentary. It was in Anuchade 51 of Sri Tattvasandarbha that Srila Jiva identified in a general way the Absolute Truth by discussing the first half of the same verse of Srimad Bhagavatam about the consciousness beyond duality, a noble concept of the Supreme, but not a very specific one. Now, to share with us the Bhagavatam's complete understanding of the Jnanam Advayam, Srila Jiva continues with this second sandarbha and the two Sandarbhas following it. He launches the long discussion with a fuller explanation of this verse. Sarvasamvadani makes this comment, Ataivam iti sata prakashaha, the text beginning Ataivam. Existence means manifestation. Nijasata visesham, visesham, the sata of the absolute truth. Well, okay, that can be a vague word, the existence of the absolute truth. We mean how he manifests, what form he manifests in. Sata means prakasha, according to Sarvasambhadani. How does the absolute truth manifest itself? Well, the answer is, in three basic ways, as Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagawan. That's how the absolute truth appears, in those three different ways. Then we can question, well, what are those three ways? And we'll discuss that. Anucheda 2. Atta Srimad Bhagavata Akya Eva Shastre Kvachid Anyatrapi Tadekam Tatvam Trida Shabdyate Kvachit Brahmeti Kvachit Paramatmeti Kvachit Bhagavan Iti Cha. So in the scripture Srimad Bhagavatam, and sometimes elsewhere as well, this one absolute truth is designated three different ways. Sometimes as Brahman, sometimes as Paramatma, and sometimes as Bhagavan. Kintvatra Srimad Vyasa Samadhi Labdad Bedad Jiva iti cha shabjate iti noktam iti gyayam. We should recognize, however, that the verse under discussion does not say the absolute truth is also called the jiva, because of the difference between them revealed in Srila Vyasa's meditation, the difference between the jiva and the absolute truth. Tatra Brahma Bhagavator Vyakyatayo Paramatma Swayam Eva Vyakyato Bhavatiti Pratamatas Taveva Prastuyate Mule Tu Kramad Vaishishya Jyotanaya Tata Vinyasaha. Among these designations of the Supreme, an explanation of Brahman and Bhagawan will also automatically explain the meaning of Paramatma. So we'll deal with these first, with these two. Okay, so Paramatma can be discussed later. And in fact, if you know Bhagawan and you know Brahman also, then Paramatma is just expansion of Bhagawan anyway. So you'll already know about Paramatma. There is a separate discussion of Paramatma, but that's going to be postponed. First business is us to discuss Brahman and Bhagawan. In the Brahma Sandarbha and the Bhagawan Sandarbha? What happened to the Brahma Sandarbha? Okay, Jiva Goswami will explain. There's no need for a separate one. There isn't that much to say about Brahman. It's all included in the Bhagavad Sandarbha. So there's no separate Brahma Sandarbha. Yes, Paul? It got merged, yeah, it got merged into the Bhagavan. Mule tu kramad vaishishya jyotanaya tata vinyasa. All the same, the original text mentions the three in the order Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan to give an indication of their relative importance. The first one's the least important. Second, next more important, Paramatma, and the most important is Bhagavan. So that's why Suta Goswami mentions them in that order. But we're going to discuss first Bhagavan and say everything you need to know about Brahman also in the course of that. Then after that, we'll have a Paramatma Sandarbha third. The way Jiva Goswami looks at it, Paramatma is just a special function of Bhagawan. When the Supreme Lord is busy controlling his various energies, then he's acting as Paramatma. Paramatma is Bhagawan in relationship to his energies. Bhagawan doesn't have to deal with energies. The energies serve him without him thinking about it. You know, in his leelas, everything's conducted by Yogamaya. But when he's the Supreme Lord controlling his energies, then he's Paramatma. Okay. Now we're getting into the verse, analyzing it word by word. Ayamartaha tamekam ev akandananda swarupam tatvam tutkrita parameshyadi kananda samudayanam paramahamsanam sadhanavashat vashat tadatmiyam apane satyam api tadiya swarupa shakti vaichitriyam tadgrahana asamarte chetasi yata samanyato lakshitam tataiva spuradva tadvarev avivikta shakti shakti mata bedataya patipadyamanam va brahmeti shabdite. This is a long and somewhat complex sentence, so I got it sorted out in the translation. Listen carefully. This is what the text means. On the one hand, some persons are paramahamsas, topmost swan-like saints, disdaining all kinds of ordinary pleasure, even that enjoyed by the ruler of the universe, Brahman. On the strength of their spiritual practices, they have achieved the same spiritual nature as the Supreme Truth we have been discussing, the original identity of unlimited pleasure. But notwithstanding this accomplishment, their hearts are not capable of comprehending the variety of the Supreme's integral energies, even though this variety is real. Thus, they only conceive of the Supreme in a general way, either as a direct perception or else as established theoretically to this limited extent. Without distinguishing energies from the possessor of energies. Realized as such, the Supreme is termed Bhagawan. This is definition of Bhagawan. It's the same tattva of Brahman. This Supreme is called Brahman, sorry. This is explanation of what the idea of Brahman is. And it really is determined by the attitude or the limits on the ability to understand on the part of the meditator or the worshipper. It's the vision of the Absolute Truth as Brahman. Okay, did I read the rest of the Sanskrit? No. Okay, that was just the first sentence. Now we go back to the Sanskrit. Atta tadekam tatvam swarupa bhutayaiva shaktya kamapi vishesham dartri parasamapi shaktinam mulashraya rupam tadanu bhavananda sando hantar bhavita tadvisha brahmanandanam bhagavat paramahamsanam tatanu bhavaika sadakatamatidya Swarupananda Shakti Vishesh Atmaka Bhakti Bhavitesh Vantar Bihir Apindriyeshu Parispuradva Tadvadeva Vivikta Tadrisha Shakti Shakti Mata Bedena Patipadyamanam Va Bhagawan Iti Shabdyate. Now here is a different vision of the same Absolute Truth. On the other hand, some persons are paramahamsas in the category of bhagavats, devotees of the personality of Godhead. The pleasure of Brahman is just part of the abundant pleasure they experience in realizing the same one truth along with his personal energies. They realize the Supreme as the possessor of particular variety and as the foundation of all other entities' energies. In some cases, the Bhagavats thus directly perceive the Supreme both inwardly and outwardly through senses imbued with bhakti, devotion. That bhakti is a special energy of the Supreme's own pleasure and can be attained effectively only by such personal realization. In other cases, the devotees conceive of the Supreme theoretically in this personal way, ascertaining the distinction between energies and the energetic. Realized thus, the Supreme is termed Bhagawan. That, in the original Sanskrit, there's only two sentences, but they're quite complex. So in the translation, we have about 15 sentences. Then it continues with a verse to support. Evam evoktam Sri Jada Bharatena Gyanam Vishuddham Paramartam Ekam Anantaram Twabahir Brahma Santiyam Pratyak Prashantam Bhagavat Shabda Sangyam Yadvasudevam Kavayo Vadanti. This is 12th chapter of the 5th canto, talking about, Jada Bharat is talking about Vasudev, the absolute truth, who's known as Bhagavan. He's Anantaram and up here. What does Anantaram mean? He doesn't have an inside and he doesn't have an outside. Abahi. Yeah. Anantaram usually means next. But this is different. This is what... Thus it is said by Sri Jada Bharata, the one pure and ultimate truth is the absolute Brahman, free from the distinctions of internal and external location. Fully self-satisfied and content, that absolute is named Bhagawan. Learned scholars also know him as Vasudeva. Sri Manu has also said to Sri Dhruva. Where did I get that from? Oh, okay, I didn't read it yet. Okay. Sri Dhruvam Prati, Sri Manunacha. Twam Vajak Atmani Tada Bhagavan Chadante Anandamatra Upapanna Samasta Shaktao. Sri Manu has also said to Sri Dhruva, you, when did he say it? When was Manu talking to Dhruva? Manu came to get him to stop killing all the yakshas. Manu. And he told him some philosophical things and promised him, if you give up this passionate killing, then you can become self-realized. And he says, you will render service to the Supreme Lord, who is the all-powerful reservoir of all pleasure and who lives in all living entities as the Supersoul. Okay, so this is the idea of Bhagawan. Both Brahman and Bhagawan have their different devotees. The worshippers of Brahman, some of them are fully realized and actually have their own perception of Brahman. Some of them are just, their knowledge of Brahman is only theoretical. Same thing with the Bhagavats, the devotees. Some of them are fully realized and some of them just know Bhagawan theoretically and they're working on it. Okay, then we have a commentary on this second anuccheda. The three ways of conceiving the Supreme as Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagawan are not peculiar only to the Bhagavatam, that can be found throughout the Upanishads, Puranas, Pancharatras, other scriptures, and texts of various philosophical schools. I'm not saying every kind of shastra and text, but it's a common concept. You'll find it in many places, the division of Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. In many schools of thought and their books, however, the focus of discussion of these three features of the Supreme is more or less displaced. Sometimes attention is given primarily to impersonal Brahman, and sometimes to the localized supersoul, relativizing the personality of Godhead, or even calling him an illusion. One primary purpose of Srimad Bhagavatam is to rectify these misconceptions and clarify the supremacy of Bhagavan. This requires providing a thorough understanding of what God actually is, his essence, his qualities, his location, and his relationships with all the living and inert entities expanding from him. So that will be discussed in the next, in these two sandarbhas, Bhagavat and Paramatma sandarbha. Very important to have a thorough understanding of what Bhagavan, what the idea means. The verse of the first canto of the Bhagavatam under discussion postulates that the impersonal, passive, and active supremes, that's Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan, impersonal, passive, and active supremes are identical in essence, but only viewed differently by different persons. Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan are the same one absolute truth. But what about the finite living beings? In the eyes of some thinkers, like the Advaitavadis, the jivas are also identical with the Supreme. The speaker of the first canto, Sri Sutta, however, chose not to include the jiva as a fourth self-same feature. He considered the jiva a separate expansion of the Supreme because his predecessor authority of the Bhagavatam, Srila Vyasa, also did. As Sutta describes in the first canto, seventh chapter, when Vyasadeva meditated on the Supreme, on the order of his Guru Narada, what he saw was Bhagavan and his autonomous energies, including the jiva. Bhakti yogena manasi samyag pranahite male apashyat purusham purnam mayam chaptarapashrayam yaya sammohito jivo atmanam trigunatmakam paropi manute nartam tatkritam chabipadyate. In his pure mind, fully concentrated by devotional discipline, he saw the complete Supreme Lord and also his illusory energy under his shelter. She who takes the jiva, even though he is transcendental, and bewilders him, making him think himself a product of the three modes of material nature, and then suffer the consequences of this identification. Although Srimad Bhagavatam is so-called because it is dedicated to Bhagavan. Actually, the sutra in the Tadatipakarana is Asya Devata. It's the book that has, or something that has such and such as its Devata. So the book Bhagavat has Bhagavan as its Devata. Therefore, a suffix is added to turn Bhagavan into Bhagavat. Although that's so, the Bhagavatam also explains the Supersoul and impersonal Brahman. In his project to share with us in the sandarbhas the entire panorama of the Bhagavatam's teachings, Srila Jiva Goswami intends to deal with all three. But he sees no need to have a separate Brahma sandarbha. Whatever the Bhagavatam says about Brahman, which is relatively less, can easily be included within the discussion of Bhagawan. A little later in this Bhagavat Sandarbha, 7.4 in Anujade 7, we will find this comment by Srila Jiva. Vyanjite Bhagavat Tatve Brahmacha Vyajite Swayam Tatotra Brahma Sandarbho Pyavantarataya Mataha. When the ultimate principle of Bhagawan is elucidated, Brahman is also automatically revealed. Thus we will consider that this volume contains in itself a Brahma Sandarbha also. Since Bhagawan is the origin of his localized and impersonal aspects, the explanation of the Supreme as Bhagawan and Brahman in this second Sandarbha will also be an adequate introduction to understanding of the Supersoul. Then the third Sandarbha will teach us much more about the Supreme Lord as this Paramatma, the controller of his numerous energies. Thus the basic concept of God by himself is developed in the Bhagavat Sandarbha, and that of God with his energies in the Paramatma Sandarbha. Since the relationships between Bhagavan and his internal, marginal, and external energies is infinitely complex, the Paramatma Sandarbha contains deeply philosophical passages that will be difficult reading for some. Srila Jiva Goswami has chosen to defer the more challenging discussions of the Paramatma for the third Sandarbha. But still, the ultimate identity of the Supreme is as Bhagawan. And so, Sri Sutta, in the first canto, lists Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagawan in that order of increasing importance. And as Sutta says a little later in the first canto, in the third chapter, Krishna's two, Bhagawan Swayam. The first and foremost form of Bhagawan is Krishna. This thesis, Srila Jiva Goswami will prove with elaborate evidence from the Bhagavatam in his fourth book, the Krishna Sandarbha, Sri Krishna Sandarbha, with which he completes his exposition of Sambandha Jnana, the ontology of God and his expansions. Some seekers of the impersonal Supreme may be relatively advanced in their realization, but there is a natural limit to their progress because they are incapable, for various reasons, which can always be traced back to a primordial envy of recognizing the Supreme's personal qualities, his personal energies, and his personal activities. They're incapable of recognizing the personal qualities, energies, and activities of the Lord because they're envious. Their knowledge may be very deep and be not just theoretical, but also involve some direct perception. Still, however, because they harbor doubts about allowing a personal entity with definite qualities be more than contingently real, they cannot experience the much higher satisfaction of Bhagawan realization. That ends the second Anujade. Okay, so we'll stop here. Please send us your questions, drop them on my desk, send them by email, and we can discuss them tomorrow morning. Okay. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.